This week on the Silver and Black Show, Jim and I get you ready for our first divisional matchup against the Denver Broncos. In the Hawaiian Airlines overview, I sit down with defensive anchor Justin Ellis, and Chris Townsend catches up with head coach Jack Del Rio as the Raiders look to bounce back against a familiar opponent. All that and more on the Silver and Black Show, starting right now.
The Silver and Black Show.
I think the world of how good and talented they are, but I'm always excited to play against them. You know, it's always fun to compete against those guys because they bring the best out of you, and it's always fun.
It's always been a great rivalry. You know, and that being said, you know, both teams are 2-1. It's a divisional game. Both teams lost last week.
You know where he is every time you break the huddle. 52 is on the right side, he's on the left side. You know where he's going to be, and you know he'll get a lot of attention.
Good football team. They're playing very well right now. They've been getting out on people. First quarter, jumping on, playing good defense, getting off on third down. Best rushing defense in the league. And offensively, they're running it very well. And we're both 2-1 and looking to get the next one.
Off to Mile High. Welcome to this week 4 edition of the Silver and Black Show. As always, I'm your host, Nicole Zaloumis, alongside our 2-time Super Bowl champion, Jim Plunkett. And Jim, I know everyone wants to get that week 3 loss out of their minds, the bad taste left in the Raiders' mouth. Now they're heading to Denver. Divisional play. This is big, and it's not just big because it's a rival, but these divisional games, they matter. Even though it's one win, why are they so important?
Well, for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's the easiest road to the playoffs. Number two, you got to win in your division. That puts the other teams behind you automatically. And when it comes to tie-breaking down the road, you know, this will be a plus for the Raiders if they can, you know, beat their division foes.
And it's always nice to take down your rival in the Denver Broncos. Speaking of, we get to our headlines. Our first one, rivalry renewed. The Raiders lead this historical matchup that dates back to 1960, 61-50, but lately it hasn't played out that way. Before 2015, they'd lost 8 straight games to the Broncos. But since Jack Del Rio was hired, the Silver and Black have split the series and reinvigorated the age-old rivalry. Jim, you were familiar with this matchup. For some of the younger fans, why is it Broncos-Raiders, they're always so intense?
In the past, it's been a lot of games that came down between the Raiders and Denver going to the playoffs. So, you know, it's a big rivalry, has been for a long time. They've had a lot of great games over the years. But one of the things I remember in the old Mile High Stadium is that the visiting locker room used to be right under the end zone bleachers. And coaches are trying to talk to their players. In my case, Tom Flores and the assistant coaches were trying to get us prepared either prior to the game or at halftime. But the Denver fans would stomp on the stadium floor above us, and sometimes we couldn't hear what was going on. It made it tough. That's all part of the game, I guess. But, you know, that's one of the things I remember going into that stadium. They made it miserable for us.
Well, one player that's hoping to make it miserable for the Raiders, that leads us to our second headline, bring on Vaughn. The former Super Bowl MVP and 3-time All-Pro remains one of the hardest defenders in the league to stop. The 28-year-old became the 4th fastest player to 70 sacks last year behind only Reggie White, Bruce Smith, and J.J. Watt. If the Raiders want the title of the best O-line, they have to keep guys like this at bay. Jim, as a signal caller, when you know a guy as talented as Von Miller is coming off the edge, does it change your mindset a little bit heading into the game?
I think it does a little bit. Either you have to slide the offensive line toward Von Miller because he's a beast when he sets his mind to pass rushing the quarterback, or number two, keep a back in and block or chip him as he goes out for a route. But that being said, if you go back to the Buffalo game, I think you'll see one of the reasons why he's so difficult to block. And you'll have LeSean McCoy going out in motion, so there's an empty backfield. You'll see Von Miller at the top of the screen come in, and instead of going outside, he takes an inside approach and gets to the quarterback before the quarterback has a chance to look down the field. And that's one of the reasons why it's so difficult to block that guy. He can go inside, outside, and still get to the quarterback. I think overall you're going to need a little bit of help from your back or slide the line that way and, you know, hopefully slow him down at least some.
A lot of great matchups to watch in this one. And that leads us to our third headline, Old Faces in New Places. The Denver Broncos are filled with familiar faces. 3 coaches on the defensive side of the ball have donned silver and black in their career, including defensive coordinator Joe Woods. The list also includes the Raiders' second-round pick in the 2013 draft, Menelik Watson, starting at right tackle. But, Jim, I want to focus on the quarterback's coach in Bill Musgrave because it wasn't too long ago that he was a silver and black coach. When you have someone that's so familiar with this offense, does it work against you because he might be able to predict what's happening out there?
Oh, oftentimes, but, you know, that's not something you can worry about. You know, the coaches have come in with, you know, different game plans, different offensive scheme. So, you know, hopefully that won't occur. But I can remember when I had Sam Rotigliano as my offensive coordinator at New England, and then 5 years later I'm playing for the Silver and Black in the playoffs against Coach Rotigliano, who's now the head coach of Cleveland. And unfortunately, one of the passes I like to throw, they read it. They picked it off and ran it back for a score, which made our game a little bit more difficult. But considering everything, everybody studies the game film, and we're going to try to take advantage of what they do and vice versa.
All right, keep it here. A lot more to come on this Week 4 edition of the Silver and Black Show. Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. I'm alongside Justin Ellis. It's your first time on the show, and I feel like we should nickname it the Gun Show for this one.
No.
Rocking the sleeveless hoodie. I like it. Is that your own creation?
Yeah, I like the sleeveless hoodies. I usually wear them during practice.
Yeah, you also like beards.
Yeah,
that's a pretty impressive
right
beard, and you're not the only one on this Raiders team. If I were to ask you who has the best beard, is it you or is it somebody else?
I can't vote myself, so I'll probably say Lee.
Ah,
I'll probably
okay.
say Lee, yeah, Lee.
So now on a serious note, it's your fourth year. You are a legit veteran. How different is this season for you entering the locker room with a lot of the younger guys looking up to you?
I think this year I have to take on more of a leadership role. The game has slowed down for me some, so I think it's becoming a little bit easier so I can focus and make more plays.
You create a lot of opportunities for the guys on the edge. I mean, Khalil Mack, your success is a direct link to his success. What is it like when you see him out there working as hard as he is, knowing that you're doing essentially all the work to get him that opportunity?
It's a brotherhood. It's like Coach says, it takes a village to stop the run and to rush the passer. So if I have two on me and Khalil making a tackle, I'm completely fine with that.
What are the personalities in that room like? Obviously, Khalil, we know he's a super nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. It's crazy. I mean, I can't really explain it. I mean, but everybody got their own personality. Everybody got their own things that about them. But it all mix in well.
You look at Jethro Franklin. What is your relationship like with him?
That's our football dad.
Message, huh?
That's our football dad. That's what we call him. He's a football dad. I mean, he a great man. He's a great man. Good coach.
So when you say he's a football dad, I mean, it's tough love or he's constantly encouraging you guys?
Oh, it'd be different. It just depends. And just like Coach know, everybody got different personalities, so he know how to approach different people. Mm-hmm. So certain people you can't approach with the tough love because they'll rebel and they won't listen. So it just depends on who you are.
Okay, so now it's time for our five questions. This is to get to know you a little bit. We already covered the beard and the hoodie. So let's get to the origin of the nickname Jelly. Where did it come from?
It come from when I was in ninth grade, my high school coach, he called me Jelly Bean. That was my original nickname, Jelly Bean, Coach David Taylor. And it stuck with me. He said it as a joke, and then it just stuck with me. And then when I got to college, you know, I grew up, so people stopped calling me Jelly Beans. They just called me Jelly. And so that's what it is now, Jelly.
Have you been up to the Jelly Belly Factory? It's not too far away. Maybe
nah,
you can get
yet.
A sponsorship
I know,
deal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Put two and two together here.
Exactly.
All right, so if you were to erase one food from this earth, what would it be? Obviously not Jelly Bellies.
If I can erase one food?
Yes, the food, I mean, a.k.a. the food you like the least.
I don't know. It used to be beets, but I done grown, since I done changed my diet, beets done grown on me a little bit. So I like beets now, but I don't know. That's a hard one.
Cauliflower. Like fish?
Cauliflower.
Oh, cauliflower. Yeah, I could probably do without that one as well.
Yeah.
Your favorite non-football activity? Could be a sport, could be chess, hunting.
Yeah, hunting, yeah.
Like
hunting, fishing. I like
full-blown hunting?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Isn't there like a point system with the antlers and that whole deal?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So do you eat what you...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I'm from Louisiana, we do that.
Final one. One thing that you're not good at that you wish you were?
Singing? Yeah, I wish I could sing, man.
Not even in the shower? I mean, in the shower, I feel like
honestly,
I'm pretty good at singing.
Honestly, I can hum real well, so, like, I can fool you.
Yeah.
I can fool you a little bit, you know, but...
There's some pretty good singers in that locker room. Have you asked for some advice, maybe some tips? Have you taken any professional coaching? I feel like if you can hum well, there's a chance.
Nah.
Okay, that will be the next time you're on the show. We'll bring someone in. We'll work on it together.
All right. I got you.
Jelly, thank you so
thank
much.
You for
appreciate
me,
the time.
Thank
Best of luck on the road. More to come on the Silver and Black Show.
I think we all understand what occurred, and we understand there's a challenge coming up this week. Each week, it's about going on to next. I mean, we're going to sit here and talk about it, but then, you know, after we do our corrections, we're moving on. You know, we've got our next challenge up, you know, traveling to Denver. So there's no time to, you know, kind of sit around and dwell on it. I mean, we'll own up to it, we'll make our corrections, and then go forward.
This is the NFL. Favorites and underdogs may be fun for the media and fans to talk about, but in this league, anything can happen. Coach Del Rio won't shy away from the criticism, but he will not dwell on it. The focus now, the Denver Broncos, and going 1-0 in the division.
Coach, before we get into last Sunday night's game, I just wanted to ask you, because you've been in the league for a long time, and this league means a lot to you, and what we saw last Sunday was unprecedented. When you see the owners, the coaches, the players, talk about the unity that's going on right now in your league.
Well, I think that was a unified response to a message that went out. Hopefully that's a thing of the past. I mean, to me, we're here to play football, coach football. But obviously throughout the league, I think the week before there were six guys that sat out or kneeled. Obviously that was a pretty strong response by the league, players, the coaches, owners, everybody. But the bottom line is, we're here to play football. I'm hoping that this is something that's behind us.
And I know you weren't happy about how it went down in Washington on Sunday night, but you did address that in these type games, they can be teachable moments.
Well, there's a lot to teach off, no doubt about that. We had a bad day. We could get into explaining away why it occurred. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. You get a chance to get it done. Chapter 3 is written. It's in the books. Put it away. We're 2-1, just like the Broncos, 2-1, going to their place, a big divisional game.
And you know all about this rivalry because you've coached on both sides. What's Raider week like in Denver, and what's it like Denver week here?
Well, I think the Raiders have made it more relevant. Quite honestly, when I was there for the 3 years in Denver, the Raiders weren't good enough to make it a big week. You know, both teams are good now, and this is a big week.
They split the last 2 years, but all time the Raiders lead the series 61-50-2. But it's not easy going on the road and playing up there.
No, there's nothing easy about the National Football League. It's tough week in and week out, different challenges each week. I know it begins to sound a little bit like coach speak because I say that all the time, but it's only because I've been in this league for 32 years and I understand it. These are real challenges each and every week, and you cannot assume going from one week into the next what it's going to look like.
And you look at matchups, and you look at the way they're running the football differently. They used to be the zone scheme under Mike Shanahan. Are you seeing more power football with the Denver Broncos now?
Well, they still like the zone scheme, but they've gotten to a few more gap plays. You know, they're down and around, the pull, the kick out, you know, those types of things. So a little more gap plays in their offense. They've been running the ball very well.
And Nicholas Morrow is a great story. Coming out of Division III, undrafted, each week from week one, huge jump to week two in snaps, even in week three. Talk about what you're seeing this young linebacker.
Well, he's doing a nice job with his opportunities. Now, he's not perfect. You know, there were a couple plays that went big the other night that he could have really stopped for. So he's growing. He's a developing young player. But I like the way he's working at it. He's got speed. He can really run. And we think he's developing.
One thing you really have to be happy about, the penalties are way down for your team.
Yeah, we worked on it. I mean, there are things that we've worked on that are much better. I feel like even the other night, the overall score did not look like anywhere what we wanted. But our run defense was very solid throughout the night. Our penalty were under control throughout the night. Our special teams units were pretty strong the other night. So offensively, we had an off week for sure. We'll be back against a very tough defense this week.
Oh, Tlaib and Harris Jr. up against Crabtree and Cooper. This should be a really good battle.
Yeah, and I think it all starts in the trenches, being able to neutralize Vaughn and their pass rush, give us a chance to look downfield.
Yeah, he is such a special player. You know that. I mean, you know all about him. I know you have a really good relationship with him. Very tough to scheme for him.
Well, there's plenty of respect for him and what he's capable of. Much like, you know, Khalil Mack is an outstanding player. These are the two of the premier players in the league, and we want to get our guy going and keep their guy from getting going too well.
And by the way, special for you, away from the Raiders, your son, who has battled through so much, back starting at Florida, had the game-winning drive last week and now got Vandy this week. Got to make Papa proud.
Yeah, I'm super proud of him. I think the biggest thing, Chris, is, you know, he just battled and stayed the course, came back from the injury, fought his way back, went through a tough camp where he played well and didn't get the job, and And then he was there. I kept telling him, hey, just stay positive, be there for your teammates. He was there last week. Big moment, got in, delivered, and now he gets a chance to start.
Yeah, it's really cool. Well, yeah. Coach, good luck in Mile High. Not going to be easy, but go get us a victory.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.
Lincoln Kennedy with a little chalk talk and be breaking down the Broncos running game right here on the Silver and Black Show.
Welcome back, class. Professor Kennedy here. This week's edition of Chalk Talk brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. You know what? The Broncos have changed up a little bit of their scheme. Traditionally, the Broncos are what we call a zone man stretch team, where they're trying to stretch right, stretch left, or create holes for cutback lanes. Now with C.J. Anderson and the recent addition of Jamaal Charles, they're going more at defenses downhill. This is one of my favorite plays of all time. It's called a Bob Trey O. What you're going to have here is this man ISO, these two double for him. He's going to pull. He's going to seal. And he's going to pull up in the hole, becoming a lead back. Now, if you think about it, with the counteraction and then the coming back, it's going to throw Dallas's defense because they're already overshifted to the right, which creates a natural hole right here to the left. Now, watch how this play goes. Counter step right, guard pull, seal for linebacker, tight end pulls, and you even bring in a wide receiver to dig out the safety. 23-yard jump for a score. This next play that we're going to see against Buffalo is one of my favorite plays. I saw it first saw it out of this formation a few years back in, I think, a national championship game between Ohio State and Oregon in college. I never thought you could do it in the pros because they were just too much speed. But the way offenses have implemented it now, they've taken a little bit of that zone read scheme and added it to this play. This is called power, or what I like to refer to as God's play, because when you run it, it demoralizes every defense that you play against. This backside seal becomes an issue when you have an open side end. But the way they do it now, this man has to be responsible for the quarterback on a rollout, right? So after you see what can happen with the rollout, that's keeping him in check. The tackle is going to seal the C gap along with the center, any B gap penetration. They're going to seal. Guard is going to pull. And then it becomes double team, back, guard pulls around for the first man in the hole. This becomes a Jamaal Charles run for 19 yards. Quarterback freezes the end. Here comes the guard. You see the double team up, get a couple extra blockers. Jamaal Charles does the rest in the hole. So my best estimation, here's what has to happen, class. Our defense is going to have to stand up at the point. You're also going to have to win some internal battles. What I mean by that, your three techniques cannot be dominated by a double team. They're going to have to get some penetration. Your outside linebackers or defensive ends, Khalil Mack, Bruce Irvin, these guys are going to have to get some penetration against those tight ends and seal up those holes before they even start. If you want to make this team one-dimensional, put all the pressure on Trevor Siemian to beat you, you probably got the best chance of winning rather than letting them have a balanced attack all the way down the field. That's my two cents. And that does it for this week's edition of Chalk Talk. I'm Lincoln Kennedy. See you next week.
Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. Jim, obviously containing or stopping that ground attack is going to be a major focus for the Raiders. How does it affect you as a quarterback when your ground game is limited?
Well, hopefully the Raiders will be able to shut down that run game, which has been very effective in their first three games. And in order to do that, you know, you got those tackles got to be tough, close down those holes, allow the linebackers to make the play by taking up blocks up front. You know, that being said, you're somewhat opened up to play action pass if you commit those linebackers too soon. But if you can stop the run game, make Trevor Siemian beat you, I think that's a whole different ball game. And I think he would have difficulty in doing that on his throwing game alone. So if the Raiders can stop the run game, slow it down at least, put pressure on Siemian, then they'll have a lot going for them in this game.
Before we get to your Plunkett's pick, let's focus on one player that you're looking at against Denver that maybe last week you want to see more of this week.
Well, you know, I really don't. Once again, I don't have one player. I think the offensive line has to protect Derek Carr better. He was under constant pressure with only a four-man rush against Washington, and we can't allow that Denver defense to be able to do that. So, you know, protect that quarterback, give him a chance to look down the field a little bit and get the ball to his dynamic receivers down the field.
All right, it's time now for Plunkett's pick, and that is one area of focus that is crucial for a Raiders victory.
I think it's going to be the running game. They shut down the running game in Washington last week. We got to get that going. That will allow Derek Carr to use play action, slow down those linebackers from, you know, making a play, and then protecting the quarterback and letting him find his receivers down the field. But, we got to shore up that running game, make things happen. We've got a good offensive line. We have, you know, great running backs. Let them do their work.
Well, that's going to do it for this week 4 edition of the Silver and Black Show. Make sure you join us next week as we get set for a home AFC matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. On behalf of Jim Plunkett, Jack Del Rio, Justin Ellis, and all of us here at the Silver and Black Productions, thanks for watching and go Raiders.